This is a podcast by The Straits Times.
Warning: this podcast is an audio documentary of a real crime case, which may be troubling and upsetting to certain listeners. Listener discretion is advised.
A stray dog wanders around the temple grounds. In its mouth, it carries a plastic bag. The temple, located near a school and neighborhood shops, is bustling with devotees and residents going about their day. The dog stops in the middle of the temple market, tears the bag open, and starts to chew on its contents. Heads turned and people begin to scrunch up their noses, as those in the temple square caught a whiff of the foul stench coming from the animal's direction. From afar, the dog appeared to be gnawing on discarded meat. But upon closer look, passers-by discovered something much worse. It was the body part of what looked like a baby. You're listening to True Crimes of Asia, a special podcast series by The Straits Times. I'm Tan Tem Mei, ST's Thailand correspondent. In this episode, we uncover the hidden problem of illegal abortions in Thailand and how the grisly discovery in 2010 of thousands of rotting fetuses hidden in a Bangkok temple led to more awareness and debate in the Buddhist-majority country. Witnesses that day said that the horror on the temple grounds might have remained hidden if no one had noticed the smell.
When the dog brought the fetus out, the situation began to develop and the matter was exposed. Residents reported the case to the police and they came to investigate. And that is when they discovered the hidden fetuses.
The origin of the bag was traced to the mortuary tucked away in the temple grounds. And when residents cracked open one of the mortuary's storage containers, which are usually used for bodies awaiting cremation, they discovered more plastic bags with similar contents. The smell of decay, mixed with gasoline, hung in the air. Onlookers covered their mouths and noses with hands or cloth. Soon, authorities and rescue workers arrived on the scene. The media was alerted too, and crowds started to gather in the area. Authorities dug out body after body. They were wrapped in plastic bags and newspapers, all in varying stages of decay. Some bags contain skeletal remains, while others have bloated due to decomposition. Some of the fetuses were almost fully developed, estimated to be at around 7 to 8 months gestation. Others were only a few months old. That day in November 2010, the remains of 2,002 fetuses were uncovered at Wat Phai Ngan, a Buddhist temple in Bangkok's central district. Longtime temple worker Supot Leng Bamrong was present the day of the discovery. He said the situation was shocking and also unbearable.
Oh, the bodies have been stored there for a long time. Two of the storage compartments were full. Some of the plastic bags were swollen and the bodies inside were rotting. Some bags had swelled so much that they burst, creating a foul smell.
Police traced the gruesome findings to two undertakers and a woman. The remains were a result of illegal abortions taking place in Bangkok clinics. The three collected, hid, and eventually disposed of the bodies by cremating them in the temple's mortuary. But the crematorium's furnace had recently broken down, and the bodies began to pile up. This eventually led to their operation being exposed. Chief of the investigation team, Colonel Sombat Milinta Chinda, told Thai media,
"They said they had been stashing the bodies for a while, accumulating them. They were unable to cremate the bodies, so they stored the bodies in the morgue. They were kept for a long time, for months, or for about a year. During the investigation, the undertakers confessed that the bodies had been stored for a year."
The discovery shocked Thailand. But it was also a turning point in the debate over abortion, which was still a strict taboo then. While it was not that uncommon to hear of fetuses aborted in secret and disposed of, these had always been isolated cases, as Mr. Ong Art Klem Pai Boon told the Straits Times. Mr. Ong Art is a member of parliament, but back in 2010, he was the minister attached to the Prime Minister's office. Mr. Ong Art had gone to the temple to handle the situation and the media at the scene. He said that illegal abortions and the problem of teenage pregnancy had been an issue during that period. But the magnitude of the discovery was alarming.
"We have heard that they found some clinic do illegal abortion. We have heard from the media sometimes that they found the body of the baby in some place. But we never heard that so many, the body of the baby from abortion in the same place. That's why we were quite shocked when we heard it."
Abortions were for the most part illegal in Thailand at the time. They were only allowed if the pregnancy was a result of rape, incest, or if it was going to affect the mother's health. With limited avenues to deal with unwanted pregnancies, illegal abortion clinics became the only option for many women. These abortions were sometimes done in secret by certified doctors. But more often than not, the procedures were done by unlicensed practitioners, resulting in increased health risks for the women, or possibly death. How long had they been collecting, hiding, and disposing of the bodies at the Bangkok temple? No one knew. But Mr. Supod, who still works at the temple today, says that he had noticed a bad smell coming from near the mortuary about a year before the discovery. However, he chose to remain silent.
"It smelled horrible. I found out what was going on when I saw that the storage door of the mortuary was open one day. The plastic bags in one of the compartments had fallen out. I couldn't stand it because the smell was so bad. So I went over to look and was like, oh damn. I didn't say anything about what I saw because I was afraid that the temple worker would lose his job and it would become a criminal case. I didn't say anything because I am just an outsider, not a temple official."
Shortly after the discovery, authorities arrested and jailed two undertakers, Suthep Chabangbon and Suchat Pumi. Both admitted that they were paid to hide and dispose of the bodies at the temple's crematorium. They had been approached by nursing assistant Lanchakon Jantamanas, who collected the fetuses from a network of illegal abortion clinics in Bangkok, according to authorities. Lanchakon earned about 500 baht, or about 20 Singapore dollars, for each fetus she helped the clinics dispose of. And she would then deliver them to the temple and pay the undertakers to hide the bodies and cremate them. One of the undertakers, Suchat Pumi, told local media that Lanchakon gave him about 4 to 5,000 baht for each batch of remains he disposed of. Lanchakon allegedly learned to perform abortions after witnessing doctors carry out the procedure and also open her own illegal clinic. All three accused were handed varying lengths of jail time, ranging from 3 to 20 years. Some of their sentences were later reduced. After the incident, many devotees and passers-by began laying out milk, fruit, and toys as offerings for the spirits of the fetuses. And thousands turned up for the special merit-making and cleansing rituals to bid farewell to the souls of the aborted fetuses. But this was far from the end of the case, and Mr. Jurin Laksan Wisit, the then public health minister, said that there was a bigger issue at hand.
Actually, this reflects a societal issue. I think that all relevant sectors must collaborate, including the government, public, and private sectors, to find a solution to this problem.
Thailand's relatively conservative society was shaken to the core. How could this have happened? Just how many illegal abortions were taking place? And why were there so many unwanted pregnancies? There was also a major crackdown on illegal abortion clinics across Bangkok. But abortion advocates said that it did not tackle the root of the problem. The founder of Tham Thang, Ms. Supicha Bautip, said the case was all over the television and newspapers, with images of the fetuses and the perpetrators splashed everywhere. However, the voices of the women who had gone through the abortions were missing. Instead, the discussion was full of name-calling and criticism towards them.
I think the classic things are like, they're a bad mother. In Thai, it is called monstrous heart mother. It's like not human, that you can kill your own irresponsible woman. Or the youth who just want to have sex and don't protect themselves. I did not hear the sound of understanding as a big voice. I think I heard mostly mean things or hate to the abortion.
Miss Supicha herself had an abortion in her younger years. And when news of the incident broke, it made her realize that there were many other women out there, just like her, who were seeking a solution or help for their unplanned or unwanted pregnancies. Many of them also had to resort to illegal abortion services. People then rarely spoke about abortion, let alone the topic of safe abortions. But this was just the beginning of the movement and the birth of pro-choice group Tham Thang.
So I opened the web blog, the blog post, and I write my own story. That's how it starts. It's the first time, and actually it is my very big step too, because I was just heard about safe abortion for just 1 year, and I haven't had time to reflect much on myself. How do I feel, or how should I feel, or is it wrong that I do abortion? Is it okay, or is there any karma or whatever? I was feeling very reluctant by that time. It is like this. Huh? I put my own story because I think there should be a voice from women.
As the story she wrote online gained traction, so did public discussion about unwanted pregnancies and the need for safe and legal termination. Back then, abortions were not just heavily stigmatized, but it was also seen as a taboo and sin. Induced or voluntary abortions were only allowed in limited circumstances, like when the pregnancy was a result of rape, or if it would harm the woman's physical or mental health, or if the fetus was deformed. Criminal penalties were also in place for women who underwent abortions, or the individuals who performed them. But as people in Thailand began to think and talk more about the shocking case, it became clear that society could not turn a blind eye to illegal abortions and its related social problems. Authorities were forced to address the issue of unplanned and unwanted pregnancies, especially among teenagers. Today, most high schools teach sex education as one of their subjects, where students learn about their rights, their bodies, and how to manage relationships, especially intimate ones. This was something unheard of a decade ago, said Mr. Ong Ah.
That is the starting point of the Thai society, start to talk and discuss more about free abortion and start to check how we should do in our society to protect our children, educate our teenage how to live in this society without abortion.
Mr. Ong Ah believes that there should be easy access to safe abortions. However, this should be paired with education about safe sex and intimate relations to reduce the need for people to seek abortions.
I think the woman should have right to make decision in his body. But if we educate them first, the case will not happen so many. But if you don't do anything, of course, the case will may happen so many. So after you educate them, educate our teenage, our children, and after that, when the case happens, we should understand it, and we should help to solve her problem because she don't want to do abortion.
Mr. Ong Ah said that in the case of unplanned pregnancies, society should be accepting of a woman's choice and support her regardless of her decision. Through years of activism and talks with government figures, organizations like Tam Tang have moved the needle regarding abortion rights in Thailand. Tam Tang operates a hotline to help women who are seeking abortions in Thailand. It connects them with certified clinics to ensure they can receive safe and timely services. The year 2020 proved to be a turning point when Thailand's Constitutional Court declared the country's anti-abortion law unconstitutional. It violated equal rights for women. In 2021, restrictions against abortion were relaxed, paving the way for sweeping changes. Today, it is legal for women up to 20 weeks pregnant to get an abortion if they consult with and receive approval from a medical professional. The procedure, which today is mostly done by taking pills to terminate the pregnancy, is also covered under Thailand's national healthcare insurance. Reflecting on this, abortion advocate Ms. Supicha says,
We have come very far. In these 10 years, there are many things happen.
But while the legal hurdles have been cleared, abortion still faces an uphill battle against conservative attitudes and beliefs in Thailand. Currently, there are about 100 hospitals or clinics offering legal abortion care, but they only operate in about half of Thailand's 77 provinces. And in Bangkok, not a single state hospital offers the service, said Ms. Supicha. Local figures estimate that 300,000 abortions are done annually. Of these, only 15,000 happen at legal care services. Unsurprisingly, the lack of access has driven people to seek other means. And it is not uncommon to hear of women buying illegal abortion pills online. The law has been changed, but authorities have yet to issue standard guidelines on abortion care in Thailand. The arbitrary state means that hospitals and clinics can refuse to conduct abortions without penalty. And some have even come up with their own parameters within the law. For example, choosing to only accept cases where the women are below 12 weeks pregnant all agreeing to only terminate pregnancies that are a result of rape. Ms. Supicha said that personal beliefs and cultural superstition also mean that abortion remains a stigmatized and divisive topic, not just among women and their families, but among medical personnel too.
Yeah, even if there are more and more doctors providing safe abortion, the majority of the providing doctors, those people, most of them, like maybe 99%, are still rejecting to provide safe abortion.
Through conversations with doctors at state and private facilities, Ms. Supicha realized that many medical professionals believe that abortion will invoke bad karma for both the woman and doctor performing the procedure. She cited an example of a doctor who was worried that her own child would be born with a cleft lip or have other issues if she performed an abortion.
And I have heard surprising, for me it's surprising, that the doctor would think like this, you know, I cannot believe. I thought they would think, oh, this cleft stuff, it should come from gene. It should come from what? I don't know, whatever, many things, medicine, the physical condition, but not from karma.
When it comes to religious beliefs, Ms. Supicha said that those who are against abortion see it as killing or murder, which is a sin in Buddhism. But Ms. Supicha hopes that more people, especially medical practitioners, will start to see that there is a need for safe abortions. At the end of the day, it is about a woman's health and choice. She hopes that people can be more understanding towards the need for legal abortion as an option.
You know, we are Buddhism. And we don't want to do karma. We don't want to kill. So for them, to do abortion is about healing. And they think this is a bad thing to do according to the religious. And this is against the Thai Buddhism religious, because Buddhism is talking about compassion. There are a lot about compassion, like happy that other people have a good life, happy that other people get out of the suffering. And it's good that Buddhism should do something to make other people happy or get out of the suffering, but they don't do. So it's like they select certain religious teaching to serve their own purpose.
There must be a change in attitudes towards women's health and individuals' rights to choose an abortion, said Ms. Supicha. On a brighter note, there's a small but growing network of about 500 medical professionals, including doctors, social workers, and nurses, who do support abortion services. At a conference in late 2022, the director of Thailand's Bureau of Reproductive Health, Dr. Bunyarit Sukrat, told The Straits Times that it is working on expanding this network of abortion services. But he acknowledged that it is difficult to change deep-set cultural beliefs. To overcome the shortage of such services and clinics, the Thai government started to offer abortion consultations through telemedicine services during the pandemic. So far, about 50 cases have been handled this way. Ms. Supicha's mission is to have abortion treated like a basic healthcare option that all women should have easy access to.
That means access in the good timing and access in the affordable price and also in the respect way. I think this is the major thing that we want.
Still, there is stigma attached to the 13-year-old case involving the Bangkok temple. And several people approached for interviews at the site declined to speak. Many were wary about bringing the incident up even after more than a decade. It seems that some people would rather forget the scandal, and even Mr. Supot, says that the matter is still discussed in hushed tones and whispers on temple grounds. While the case was put to rest, there have been rumors speculating that the cries and giggles of babies can be heard coming from the temple. People have also claimed to see the shadow of a baby figure in photographs captured of the mortuary, where the bodies were found. Naturally, the gruesome crime has also inspired several local horror movies, including the 2011 Thai flick titled The Unborn Child, where a woman is haunted by the vengeful ghost of the child she aborted. The temple's storied history means that it is also considered one of the top haunted places in Thailand, according to some listicles online. Today, the mortuary site is still located on the temple grounds, but the vault doors are locked, and the area is used to store construction materials. There is little reminder of the incident over a decade ago. And some, like temple worker Mr. Supot, have made peace with the events of 2010.
At first, the neighbors were so frightened they could not sleep. But for me, I just think of this as a place where I work. I don't come here to cause trouble. I told the spirits, please, I am just here for work, so please don't scare me. When I am done with work, I'll go home. The neighbors used to ask me about the case and ask if I've heard any ghosts or spirits here, but I didn't want to talk to them about it. The spirits and I, we are friends.
You were listening to the second episode of True Crimes of Asia, a new and special six-part podcast series started by The Straits Times in 2023. It was narrated by Tan Tam Mei, produced and edited by Teo Tong Kai and Faiza Sani. And the executive producers are Ernest Lewis and Tan Tam Mei. The next episode will be out on June 27th, and thereafter, the fourth Tuesday of every month. If you'd like to read more of Tan Tam Mei's columns on Thailand, there's a link in our podcast show notes. Once again, do follow ST's True Crimes of Asia podcast on Apple, Spotify, Google Podcasts, or via the Google Voice Assistant and Amazon Alexa-enabled devices. Get notified when we drop the latest episodes. Thanks for listening. For more podcasts by The Straits Times, The Business Times, and Money FM 89.3, you can also download the Audio by SPH app. That's AWEDIO.